Molas, 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 molas. Molas, 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 molas. Molas, molas, molas.
Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 169 of the Red Bin Podcast. What's the problem?
Oh, hey, Fred.
You okay?
Didn't see you there.
What's that? Why are your shoulders shrugged? What's going on?
Just a bit down.
Oh, because of England?
Well, can we play some sad music? Just, it makes you feel a bit better.
Yeah, okay. If it makes you feel better.
No, not that. Can we sing a bit sadder?
Well, like this sad?
That's perfect. Oh, it's been a long old weekend.
What, you're upset about England losing to Scotland?
Yeah, that. And Italy.
And Italy was better.
Paolo Gabrizi had been on the podcast.
He has been here.
He'd been here, we talked to him.
Yeah, yeah.
I could touch him.
Yeah, we gave him the inspiration. Well, we thought we'd give him
and
the inspiration.
I wanted it for Seb. I wanted it for Monty. I wanted it for Tomas. I wanted it for Paolo Adogu.
Why are you crying?
I'm just upset because he could have asked for more time on the kick.
Do you think he could have done?
Yes. That's one of the first things you learn in the city. You just got to keep asking the questions until you get it.
Okay.
That's the problem. He should have actually done probably some work experience in the city and he would have known to ask.
Well, we did offer it to him. He's going to be high-flying. It was a shame there wasn't, because obviously sad. England, big loss. Italy should have won. France are fucking awful, aren't they?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Well, they're just French.
Yeah, they're just French. They're unpredictable. Let's talk about England then quickly, because obviously big game up in Scotland.
Yeah.
Perfect kickoff time, 4:45 Saturday. God, yeah. I imagine you would well juiced by then.
The day couldn't have gone better. You know, I was in the pub at 2.
Yeah.
Pints were enjoyed. I was feeling remarkably optimistic about England. You can cut out the sad music now.
Okay, cool.
Thanks. No, I'm feeling better. It's good to be here.
Okay, good.
Sorry, I was just in my mind.
Yeah, you need to get it out. It's fine.
I'm not crying. I don't cry. It's just
you're always very wet for a man who isn't crying.
Yeah, no, that's sweat.
It's sweat.
Yeah, I sometimes sweat from my eyes.
Okay. Well, I saw you doing an early workout this morning on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Always do after a big weekend. Nothing better than getting up at 4 a.m. and just hitting the gym and just getting it done.
So tell us though. You were in the pub too.
Yeah, it couldn't have been better conditions for the lash. It was a nice crisp day down Northcote Road. Pints were going in.
Big jacket on.
I was just wearing a nice little Raab number.
Oh.
It's just nice. It's for all conditions. You don't feel too hot inside, but you don't feel cold outside.
Okay. So
that's the beauty about Raab, by the way.
Raab jackets, warm, comfortable, and for the successful man or woman.
And also, that I was with my friend Ducky.
Mm-hmm.
We call Ducky because he's fat and he waddles. Really good bloke though. He was wearing a Helly Hansen jacket.
Helly Hansen jackets for the guy. Who knows where he's going?
So the conditions, like the pub was lively, the banter was flowing, and you could just tell this was going to be an El Clasico.
Yeah.
And it just didn't turn out that way. I was gutted. Your first 20 minutes, I thought we were in there.
Friend of the podcast, Furbank, scores early on, and looked like it was going to go.
Oh, it looked like it was going to be a good day at the office. If that was Q1 in the city cleaners, it would be you smash January, but then your February and March was shocking. And that's what happened to England. I don't really know what to say.
Yeah.
I literally can't wait for the boys in England squad to start posting photos with quotes like,
"We go again.
A new game, a new horizon.
Fresh start.
Not the result we wanted, but we will try harder, thanks to the support.
It means the world to us, and we'll see you at Twickenham. We want to make you proud."
And that kind of content is wonderful. Whoever is running that social media strategy, right, they deserve a bloody pay rise. That doesn't disconnect you from the team. That makes you want to support them even more.
It's genius.
And it doesn't look disingenuous
at all.
Reverse
psychology, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't look disingenuous at all. It looks like bloody good strategy. And that comes from the top. I reckon Bill's made that.
Do you think so?
Yeah, and I really hope they turn it around for Bill's sake. I mean, whatever happens, Twickenham will sell out. I hope, fingers crossed, Bill gets away skiing with his bonus, regardless of the result.
Yeah.
But that's just good business, and that's why I respect Bill. The two takeaways I take from the weekend is I do find it easier to know what England have done wrong by watching on television.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know if anyone from the RFU is listening to this, but I don't know whether Steve Borthwick should be watching it on a screen on iPad, you know, with the BBC commentary, the ITV commentary, and they will be able to guide him on what they're doing wrong. The other thing is, behind me in the pub, there's a guy right behind me. I got talking to him, really good guy, called himself Jimbo. Interesting, played nearly 2 seasons for Loughborough First at university.
Wow.
So he knew his stuff. He's actually wearing some Loughborough rugby shorts. He was having a few jars, but Anyway, he knew his stuff. Like I said, he nearly played two seasons for Loughborough University.
That's
and
true.
He said to me, like, Northampton were sniffing around him. They were sniffing around him, and then he did his bloody ACL. Typical. Just as they were going to set him up with a big contract. But I don't know. I've got his details. Again, if anyone's in for RFU, don't know whether it's worth getting Jimbo in. It's
what, like, was he doing? Good feedback as well?
He knew his stuff, and he knew exactly what they're doing wrong. But I don't know whether anyone from the RFC listed, they want to get him in a consultant's capacity, and he could just go in. And I reckon he could sort a lot of that stuff out in a couple of days. I mean, I don't know what his day rate is. I don't want to talk for him. Probably a grand. Not a lot for the RFU. You think about it.
Yeah.
Bill Sweeney's probably on double that, if not triple that.
So, Archie, after the sort of destruction, the devastation of England falling short once more against the Scots, 4 years running now, we decided to get on another rugby hero from outside the Six Nations sort of, you know, echo chamber.
You've got all these other rugby podcasts. They're getting current pros.
Yeah, yeah.
They're being a bit, like, naughty.
Yeah, it's a bit obvious what they're doing.
We're not about that.
No, we're
about the banter.
We've gone...
How's that guy from Love Island's podcast? It's bloody good, actually.
It's good, yeah.
It's really interesting. He's actually got a lot of good chat. Like, fair play to him. I don't know if anyone wants to give it a listen. I can't remember what it's called, but it's really good.
It's not
boring at all.
No.
That is that kind of stuff. We need more in rugby. That and people asking questions on a microphone before a game.
Well, we've just.
I actually love that content.
We've decided.
I would do it, mate.
You should do it.
No, I can't. I can't. I've honestly, the running content is taking up so much of my time.
Well, we've decided.
5Ks.
We've decided
10Ks,
to get on.
15Ks.
20Ks?
No, not 20Ks, but I do a lot of filming of what I'm going to have before a run. So, like, I'll shoot my bagels with my peanut butter and jam. Yeah.
So it takes
my electrolytes. So I took, like, all the electrolytes I take before. And then it's just step by step, the different kilometers, how I'm feeling.
Right.
And then recovery. And then all the stuff I do recovery. Like, I'll have a big bowl of cereal.
You must go through a lot of memory on your phone.
Yeah, I do. I've had to get a backup phone just purely for running content. Then the nightmare's editing. I haven't released any yet, but when I do,
I can't wait.
It's going to be bloody good.
Well, should we quickly say who's
not as good as David Brithelworth? Fair play to him.
Well, Archie, should we tell everyone who's on the show?
Yes, please.
They probably read it in the title. But it's the wonderful Josh Matavesi, 50 caps for Fiji, and obviously Bath legend amongst other clubs across Europe.
Yeah, and I tell you what, this man is pure rugby. Still playing, mate.
Yeah.
So I think there's only one thing to say. Onside, chat.
How are you, boys? You all right?
Yeah, we're good,
very
thank
good,
you.
Very good. We're really strong.
Well, I should say we're delighted to be joined by Fijian legend who played for Fiji just shy of 50 times, graced some of Europe's finest teams. But now you're playing in the fourth division of English rugby, back in your home county of Cornwall. What the hell's going on, Josh?
Yeah, mate. Just opportunity came up to come home. Sort of the oldest child that I've got, Lani, she started year 7 at school. So it's kind of nice to give them a bit of security and stability in their life. But I'm loving playing for Campbell at the minute. It's what rugby's about.
Now it's nice because me and Josh, we play sort of same level now. And it's nice to have someone that actually understands and respects the standard that, you know, we play, because Josh will know this, I'm one of the greatest semi-professional rugby players. I could have gone pro, but I just love the standard. I love the nitty-gritty. I love the fact that, you know, we don't have replays on the screen. The referee's word is his word. It's loosey-goosey, baby, out there. And there's gaps and opportunities for free, you know. That's what I love about it. The defences aren't tight. You just spot a gap, poof, goose step through. See you boys later.
Did the Clapham Falcons play Camborne or not?
No. We should arrange a cup match, but they're not in our division, not in our area, and we don't have the facilities to get a bus or a plane. Well, we probably could afford it though, down to Cornwall.
Josh, are you making some good memories on the Cornish coast? Is it good to be back home?
Yeah, it is. It's where we grew up, so it's nice to be back at the club where, you know, I started out when I was 4. On Tuesdays after training, we have a cheese club.
Oh.
And then on Thursdays we have a bit of food after the club as well, so there's always a few pints involved. So it's like,
funny enough, they have the cheese club, we have FX club. We do FX trading after Tuesday training sessions. We get all back in our quarter zips after training, shower down. We are still on the protein shakes. Normally all of us have got individual Tupperware, we're eating a bit of chicken, and we're just going through different currencies. I'll be like, Marcus, is this a good one to invest in? Marcus is a bloody good FX trader.
Is he?
Yeah, I'll give you his details, mate. If you want to make money, mate, I tell you what, he's on it.
Doesn't sound that loose, because when Jack Noel came on, obviously a Cornish man as well, he said the Cornish are the loosest people in the world. Now, you played for Camborne, Truro, Mounts Bay. just tell us, because he said, and so did Cowan Dickey, also a Cornish man.
Oh, poor old Cowan Dickey.
How,
we used to go to college with all of them. That they're like, we always go to college all together.
Yeah.
Well, he said the initiations for Club Rugby in Cornwall are fucking crazy. Just tell us what they're like, Josh. What do you have to go through? Come on, give us the gory details.
Some clubs are renowned for some really bad ones. Penryn is another club. They are renowned for some hideous stuff. Campbell and I had to naked crawl down to the bus driver, give him a high five, sing a song.
Yeah.
Try and make it back. Obviously, everyone's got their belts off, shoes off. Then I had to eat cat food, eat a whole chocolate cake under 5 minutes. Then I had bottles of cider taped to my hand.
What's the worst one you've heard, though, in Cornwall? Come on. You don't have to don in the car.
I've heard.
Yeah, go on.
Is it the bird bath?
Tell us.
So you put a drink into someone's foreskin and then drink out of it.
I love that.
Then you get it's not a Glasgow smile, there's something else. So someone's just taken a dump, and then instead of wiping their ass, you have to put your nose through their butt crack.
Those are both good ones. They're both things I do on a night out on a regular basis. they're not even initiations. The bird bath is wonderful. It's actually, if you get a nice shot of tequila or vodka in there, and with the rugby boys in Archer Street Wine Bar, I'll be like, come on. I'll be like, Marcus, come on, you deserve it. You bloody deserve it. You've earned me a bit of coin this week. Come and have a little bird bath, you cheeky little devil.
Josh, I've read that you're a proud Cornish man. In fact, you consider yourself Cornish, not British. Is that right?
Yeah. I think most of the boys that are from Cornwall will say that. Even Jack and Dickie always say you're Cornish. I don't know. It's something that we grew up on. It's a strong heritage and culture down here. And yeah, it's not that we're not English. It's just that we're Cornish first.
Yeah. And I think history would say that my ancestry line would have invaded Cornwall. And made it part of UK.
But you consider yourself Cornish because you go to Rock once a year.
I love going down to Rock in the summer. I love Damer Bay and, you know, all that stuff. It's just a good scene to be part of. And when I'm down there, yeah, I really do feel Cornish. I feel really part of the area. You know, Cornwall, some of the shops really remind me of Joe Marler. They're very kooky. Very kooky. And I do love the area. It's somewhere I'd like to buy land when I retire and build a bloody big house somewhere.
Get Marcus on it. Get Marcus on it now.
Yeah,
yeah. Marcus will get the FX game for you.
Yeah, yeah. Marcus, actually, write that down. I'll reach out to him. He probably knows. He can probably help me with some Cornish FX trading. Yeah.
Josh, obviously playing for Cambourne now, going well. Also getting thousands of people watching your games, which is incredible. But last time you donned the Cambourne socks before re-signing was obviously when you played for the Bar Bars back in 2018, when you thrashed the English, which you must have loved. Chris Ashton got a hat-trick that day, I believe. But we're told that the Barbarians is the greatest week of your life as a professional rugby player. You were with the likes of Finn Russell, John Afoa. Just take us through that week in London. How good?
People say best week of my playing career. That all meet up in London in this the hotel is Park Lane, is it?
Yeah.
And literally taken to the top floor on the beer straight away, and then you're out every single night. But I think Pat Lamb ran quite a good program. There's physios and doctors that have been doing it for like 30 years. They were like, we've never seen a drone or this many coaches. So obviously Pat's taking it quite seriously. Yeah. Got a play sheet and all, which came in handy because obviously we did really well against them. But yeah, it didn't stop. We went from Sunday to Sunday and we didn't. I reckon I probably got an hour's, if that, sleep a night.
That sounds like my December.
How good's Finn? How good's Finn Russell on the piss?
Yeah, really nice boy. I'm still keeping contact with him now. Just chilled. And in that game as well, he must have been so hungover, he forgot to do his laces up. Played the whole game, completely forgot.
Also, well, great chassis.
Funny enough, I've actually got Velcro boots if I go on the piss too much.
Really?
Yeah, because it happens to me the whole time. If I've got like a client lunch on a Friday and it's not dry January and I go out, and I think, oh, good, I'm going to be hungover, I just get the Velcros out. Velcros. I just fuck them up, and I'd be like, boys, just pass me the ball, I'll make things happen.
Is it quite hard to do the Velcros up with the gloves on, the goody gloves?
No, because I Velcro them up, then
you glove up.
Shoulder pads on, I got my scrum cap on, I got my knee protectors.
Knee braces,
Knee protectors I used.
Falcons.
I got my knee protectors because I do a bit of skateboarding back in the day. I've just got those just because the knees are getting a little bit sore.
Why do you get the foam things the second rows get for lineups?
I just like the look. I like the feel.
You're number 10.
I get the boys to do a bit of lifting on me. Well, I had this play that I was there. It was like a long line out and I'd get lifted as a 10 because I've got such a much better distribution than, like, let's say, like Stooksy. He couldn't throw a left hand pass.
No, he's useless.
So that was the thing, but it never, never went.
Terrible past him.
Yeah, yeah. A wonderful, wonderful human.
That guy's got a lot of stories, eh?
Yes.
That girl he met in Argentina? Was it?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, we're talking about Luce. We were out in France, well, you were, Archie, with Nico Matawalu.
Wow.
He was initiating you to the world of Carver.
Yep.
Now, when you play for Fiji, how big a part is Carver to this? Actually, before we get onto Carver, what is wrong with Nico Matawalu? I mean, the guy is insane, right? Did he sleep with his... What happened?
I love Nico. I think he is the definition of living in the now and here. I don't think I've ever met anyone that does live more in the now and here. It's a wonderful thing to be around, but it's quite scary.
But he ended up ended up chucking his brother out of his hotel room.
No. His brother slept in the chair and he slept in the bed because I think he was the elder, which made sense because there's only a quarter final against England in the World Cup. But to be fair, Nico was knackered.
That doesn't matter, does it?
Nico was knackered. He said he was absolutely knackered. In no way could he sleep in that chair.
Go tell us about Nico. Is he insane?
He's the joker of the team and couldn't pass up his left hand as a scrum half, which is really helpful. So he used to get these reversible left hand passes that come the other way. Like, what the heck was that? But he obviously turned himself into, you know, one of Fiji's best nines. But like you said, he's spontaneous. He's infectious as well, isn't he, with his laugh and his attitude. Just had the joy of playing with him for over 10 years in Fiji and just... You didn't know what was going to happen off the pitch or on the pitch. So it's always fun with him.
When you played for Fiji there, obviously, Archie, you got initiated into the world of Carver. You actually ended up having like a Carver whitey and was like wheeled back to the boat.
Got back and my pants were down and I don't know what happened.
But how big
it's
a part?
That's not Carver.
How big a part?
Oh, well, hold on. It's Carver the guy. It was the guy in the fluorescent pink vest. Was that the cover, the shot he gave me?
No, it was when you were sat down with all the elders.
Oh, no, okay, that's another night. I met this guy, really good guy, really good guy from London. He was just travelling all by himself and he gave me the shot. Next thing I know, I woke up in my room in the boat and I had my pants down and I couldn't sit down for ages, but I had done squats the day before and that was the...
Must be an English cover.
My glutes were absolutely painful. But so much so, I almost like gone in into my bunk.
Inverted glutes.
Yeah, inverted Jesus. Glutes.
Talking about Fiji and Barbaz, you obviously played against one of the greatest rugby players ever in Semi Radrada. What's he like off the pitch? Is he good fun or not?
Yeah, unbelievable. Like, probably one of the best players I've ever played with. He was probably the first Fijian that I've seen that was like ultra professional. Mm. So in the Barbaz week, he doesn't drink, so he didn't drink that whole week. But I've never seen a guy bring stretch bands and, you know, all this stretching equipment. You know, when you played school rugby and you get the real good player at school rugby, he used to run for everyone. That is literally what it. I was literally watching, you know, poor Chris Robshaw, I think, missed like four tackles on Ranrandra and they all meant all four missed tackles from four tries.
Oh,
I've just never seen a bloke just have a ball and just run over everyone. Yeah. It's like Jane Lomme rugby.
Such a good beard as well. Yeah. It's so well oiled.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I respect anyone that takes stretch bands with them. I've got massive respect for. I have always, and I haven't got one today because I haven't got my bag with me. But if I'm on the Northern Line and I'm going into the city, I will regularly sit or stand and just use the stretch band
in the tube.
On the tube,
Russia.
Yeah, I get a full stretch. And so, you know, some lady the other day was like, "Do you mind? Like, we're trying to get people on the tube." I said, "I don't care. I'm stretching. There's another one in 2 minutes. They can wait." She goes, "God, aren't you selfish?" I said, "No, I'm not selfish. I'm selfish about my body, okay?"
You're a semi-pro.
I was like, what do you do for a living? And she said she actually worked in a hedge fund. I said, I can't believe that. So which hedge fund? Anyway, we end up doing business. We connect on LinkedIn. It's fun.
Josh, you're known across the world as possibly the most famous person in the history of the sport to pull off the dummy. I mean, you are known for your dummies. What is the secret to a good dummy? And Archie, do you have something you're known... I mean, obviously you played Div 5 South West London. It's slightly different. Nearly 50 caps for Fiji.
Josh, but will tell you, very similar. Carry on.
But he's got the dummy. And tell us the key to the dummy. And then Archie, do you have a sort of a move you use?
Yeah, I'll let Josh talk about it. I mean, I think, you know, we're probably very similar.
I don't know. It's something that I probably... I had in since I was a kid. Obviously, used to use when I was growing up. No one used to use it when I was playing, and it's just such a good way to just take the eyes off the player for like half a second, which gives you a soft shoulder.
Well, I'll wait to about 17 minutes, 18 minutes in. I would have touched the ball multiple times because that's the game plan is give me the ball, and the next thing I throw the dummy through the gap. See you later. is probably past some like overweight sort of 52-year-old guy in the centre. I'd be like, see you later, mate. Off you go. I'm looking exceptional. Bam, into the thing. Also, I've been using the stretch bands before the game, so I'm elasticated. I'm ready.
Your arms are all over the place.
So yeah, and I sometimes the eyes. I do a lot of the eyes. You know, I will run up to the guy and I will like, you know, I'll throw the eyes that way and that way. So yeah. Commercial break. Sorry to interrupt. Bloody good podcast, I know, as always. Just a quick one. Do you think you could just come into this meeting room with me for 2 seconds? Just got something quite important to tell you. That's it. Just come in. Can you close the door as well? Don't worry. You're not in trouble. If anything, you've been great. Well listened for the last couple of months, and we're really impressed with everything you're doing. It's a joint effort. Just a quick one to let you know that the stash at Samurai is still available. If you click on the link in the bio, you can get all your Clapham Falcon stash. You can get Clapham Falcon training top, Clapham Falcon training shorts, rugby shorts, backpack, bucket hat, hoodie, you name it, they've got it. So why not click on the link and make yourself an official Clapham Falcon and send a picture into the Rig Beers or to my Instagram account and I'll repost it. Love and champagne.
Your brother Sam is now playing for Fiji, obviously doing incredible. But we got a quickie touch on just the crazy, crazy story and the incredibly sad tale as well. Obviously, you found out about your father's passing literally a day before the quarterfinal against England. Now, just take us through how he sort of came to the decision to play. Did you speak to him? Did he want to do it to honour your father, who was obviously an incredible player, played for Fiji Barbarians as well, and also played for your club?
Yeah, it was quite an easy decision because I think the only thing that my dad was worried about was Sam's going to play or not. So he actually said to Sam, sorry for like, as he's calling him, he's like, sorry for interrupting the World Cup.
Oh my God.
And we're like, what are you talking about? Just, you know, obviously. And then Sam's like, Sam's going to come home anyway, because obviously the importance of it. But he was always going to play. The thing that Sam wanted to do, I think at the start, was he wanted to stay and just obviously try and start. Obviously, Simon and him came to an agreement, you know, get home, see your dad, and just be with the family for a few days. And then we all flew back together, which was really nice. The Simon Rawalui, the coach, he wanted me and my brother to come back with Sam and spend a few days with the Fiji team. So such a good occasion, obviously under, you know, rubbish circumstances, but it's just nice to be back in that environment with the Fiji boys. They don't take anything too serious, and it's just nice to see old faces and familiar ones.
I had a great story during the World Cup that I wasn't there, but the night that they lost to England, Nico Matawala brought a fan from the boat to go and have carver with the team. He did. And took a fan from the boat to go and have carver with the boat. It's true.
That's incredible.
Can you imagine that ever happening in any other team? No.
I remember because we were all in this one nightclub that was open till late there, where all the whole squad was. And Nico literally did just bring this random.
Yeah.
Well, both your brothers obviously pro rugby players. Your dad was as well. Incredible rugby family. But talking about Fiji, we always hear about the corruption of rugby in Fiji, especially when you were playing. I think now it's really changed the corner over the last couple of years, it seems to. But when you were playing, I mean, players left unpaid. Just give us a flavour of how tricky it was to be a foreign-based player for Fiji. I mean, did you lose out money being a Fijian player?
At the start, yeah. When I first got there, obviously I didn't know what to expect. And I knew obviously the money was going to be great. Played for Fiji, but that wasn't why I played for Fiji. But yeah, it was fun. He's gone knocking this guy's door called Semi, one of the managers. And he'd go, how many days did you train this week? They'd go through his little checklist and then obviously give you a little brown envelope with about 200 quid in it.
But I read that you actually lost out on money. Like you have to pay for your own flights and stuff. Is that right?
Yeah. Pay for flights. Obviously, you pay for your flights. And you know, if you got there, because obviously camp would start on Monday. If I got there on a Friday, I'd have to pay for the hotel for, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But that's, you know, that is the way it went. And I'd hate to say that I think Fiji was probably the better of, you know, the three Pacific nations. You know, some of the stories you hear from the Tongan boys and the Samoan lads, you know, money going missing for their World Cup in 2011. They did, you know, a massive fundraiser and then it all went missing.
Obviously, we're told it's a religion over there, to some as important as actual religion. Just tell us what it's like when you get to Fiji. Like, is that what they live for, rugby?
It's hard to describe. So you say if you went in the car from the airport to Suva, it's about 3 hours, you would see about tea time, you would see hundreds of kids on a beach or on a field playing rugby, not with a ball, because some of them might not have a ball. It'll be like a tea towel or a T-shirt in a knot. It'll be a water bottle, like a Coke bottle.
Jeez.
Like, they literally play rugby with anything. And then even the hotel. So if you go to the hotel, and the people on a break, they'll be around the back playing touch. Or the people playing volleyball is mad.
That But that's similar to Clapham Common in the summer.
It's very similar.
It is.
Like, yeah. You know the story of Semi, eh?
No.
Oh, Semi was epi. There's a winger that went to the NRL, and he's working as a hotel porter. And Andrew Johns, the Aussie NRL guy.
Yeah.
He was visiting Australia, and he obviously seen this bloke. Epi, I think Epi was 6'5". But he's obviously skinny then. And he's like, I watched this kid play touch with the rest of the hotel workers. And he's like, this guy is ridiculous. And then they ended up bringing him to Australia. And he's played rugby for Australia, the Kangaroos, played NRL.
Jesus. That's an epic story.
It's mad.
That's what I hope the dream is, that someone like just picks me up off Common. I'm playing touch.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just see how good I am with no one getting my tags.
They see your dummy.
Yeah.
And the eyes. Being Cornish and Fijian, you obviously had to travel to Fiji, as you were saying, but you may not be used to the climate and the food as much. Did you ever get ill when you were over there? I mean, any horror stories of you not being able to train?
Nah, my brother had the worst one. He had the bed bugs.
Oh.
Yeah, massively. They got sent to a camp in like the jungle. And obviously, they always give us like, they always ask me and Sam, do you want a blanket? Do you want a mattress? And we're like, oh yeah, please, because I'll sleep on the floor, I'll be fucked. And he got bed bugs real bad.
Jesus. Yeah. So did the rest of the team sleep on the floor?
Yeah, well, to be fair, they ask all the foreigners, like all the non-Fijian, but boom, lads, they're like, do you boys want like mattresses and stuff? For the first one, we were like, yeah, please. And then obviously we felt a little bit like,
yeah.
So we took them away, but it's great, like that, those sort of things.
Yeah, that's like me at boarding school, because I went to boarding school when I was 7, and when the real sort of boarders come in at like 13, and they're like, do you want bunk beds and stuff like that? I'm just like, whatever, I'll take whatever. I'm used to this, you know, these guys coming in. You're gonna miss your parents, mate. Are you? You're 13. I've been doing this 6 years. Yeah, dry your eyes, mate. Yeah. So I remember that's the only time I've cried is when I was 7 when I left the boarding school. Since then, no tears from this guy. It's a sign of weakness, if anything. Some girl was crying in my office the other day. She had a boyfriend had broken up. I just turned up to her and said, "Man up, man up." Okay, life goes on.
Four prem teams: the Ospreys, Wrestling Metro, and in Japan. Where was your happiest time and why?
Bath was very good. I really enjoyed that. Newcastle as well. Newcastle was very fun. Dean Richards was unbelievable. So we had a thing at Newcastle where you had to, all the trips we'd fly there, but we'd have to bus back. So it was unbelievable. We'd get to Exeter, obviously you fly down to Exeter, then you're on the bus. And he was really good. He was like, we'd have cheese and pork night, you know, on the way back. And it was class. And
what about Gary Graham? He came on the podcast. We couldn't believe how loose he was.
He's
class, isn't he?
Very strange individual, but yeah, lovable. Lovable rogue.
When we all joined at the same time at Newcastle, and we had such a mix of people, because you also had Maxi Mermoz. He's just like real nice, you know, pristine-looking French guy. You got Gary Graham. He's like tough gun from the north.
Was Fernsey there?
Nah, he came after I left.
Right, yeah.
He's another one, isn't he?
He's a naughty boy.
Loose as a goose.
Finally, Japan. Freddie Burns told us that it's literally just fat, drunk Japanese men doing karaoke in their white, skimpy bokis every single night when you're out in the pit. Is that, and then like big bushes in the onsens? Is that about right?
Yeah, they're terrible drinkers.
Yeah.
They're like, we'd go out for food at say 7, and by 7:30 they've had 3 pints and they are fucked.
Oh my God.
Like, you get, and then, but like, there's some of the bars there, they don't have windows. So like, I would go out on a Friday night and then I'd be drinking away, and then suddenly it's Sunday lunchtime.
Oh my days, that sounds unbelievable.
Normally I would FaceTime Stukey and Judgy, Christian Judge and all, but...
Well, I remember when Burnsy did an Instagram Live from Japan and like a 12-year-old girl joined in the car.
Yeah,
that was possibly the... And then he didn't have the guts to hang up. Yeah. And it was the weirdest 20-minute watch, I think. And then her dad came on.
Poor old Burnsy. He loves social media, but he's just sort of searching for something, isn't he? It's unbelievable.
Don't think he was looking for her though, was he?
No. I think he was searching for his ex-missus, who he did find but then broke up with, but yeah.
Josh, I actually want to finish on a slightly more serious note before we actually round off a chat.
This has all been serious. But this is a bloody serious podcast.
No, but I actually want to seriously say, obviously, just incredible when you look at your family, like three brothers all becoming professional rugby players and just incredible human beings in their own right. I know that you tragically lost your mum when you were younger. You also lost your dad recently. But your dad, I mean, what an absolute legend. Because I heard that he literally got up at 4 a.m. and worked his fucking ass off every single day to give you guys the opportunities to, you know, become the incredible guys you have, both professionally and privately. Just tell us about the sacrifice he made for you guys.
Yeah, like you're right. He would literally get up at the crack of dawn. We wouldn't really see him until we got back from school. So from 4 o'clock until probably 6 o'clock, he was all out. And then obviously we had free reign. So we had a tab at the fish and chip shop across the road from us. We would go berserk on. Which is good times, obviously not now because I've got some bad habits. I've always tried to lose weight, so he just installed like hard work in us, and just enjoying it as well. He never complained. So when I was playing rugby, and I made sure that I enjoyed it, which is probably why I always had that smile on my face, because I think you realise life probably isn't that hard when you're playing rugby. Like, there's obviously challenges, don't get me wrong, but when you see, a single dad try to, keep the lights on, pay the rent, whatever it was, just to get the boys, that's hard. When you see a single mum trying to raise their kids, that's hard. So when you play rugby, it's something that I love, and that's not, that's not a job. So that's why I really enjoyed it. And that's why I play rugby as well. Even now at Camborne, I still fucking love playing rugby. I think if I wasn't professional, I'd still probably enjoy it as well, if that makes sense. So, yeah.
I love playing rugby. I love the weekends. I love the shit shirt nights.
Class, isn't it?
I love the showers. I love the up and unders. I love the banter. And it's funny.
Foreskin shirts.
I'm a single father. I've got one daughter, but she's a nightmare. God.
How old?
One. She's one. She literally does nothing around the house. Absolutely nothing. I was saying earlier, I left her the other day to go to the gym for 2.5 hours in the house. I just said, look, I left some bread on the floor with a knife, like a sharp knife, so you could cut the bread. And I said, look, just, I'll be back in a couple of hours. I said, look, I just need to get out of the house. You're doing my head in. You've been up since 5. I was just like, and she, the thing is, she can't talk. I'm trying to explain to her, like, if you talk, then I know what you're talking, what you want. But she just, your whinges, I, what do you want? Anyway, and she walks around the house like she bloody owns the place. And the other day, someone bought her a pram and a baby. Ooh. She's pushing this pram around. Like, I said to her, don't you get any ideas? You're 1 year old. I said, don't you get near any. We're not having a granddaughter young.
Oh,
and she
God.
Holds this baby like she bloody loves it. I had to explain to her, it's not real.
I don't know how you boys are not cancelled.
Yeah. Anyway, she's great. She's good. I mean, she's great at nursery. At home, it's just tough. But I've got a nanny. But that we're going through some difficult times with me and the nanny, because she just refuses to share the bedroom with me. I'm just like, that was part of the arrangement. So I think we're going to go through an intimate. It's just tough.
Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Gonna ask those questions now.
Toby Flood.
Chat.
Alwyn Jones.
No chat.
Dan Bigger.
No chat.
George North.
No chat.
Justin Tipperick.
Chat.
George Ford.
No chat.
Francis Lowe.
Chat.
Anthony Watson.
Chat.
Jonathan Joseph.
Chat.
And Toby Falata.
Chat.
Okay. So none of the Welsh guys have chat, is basically what you're saying. We'll try and steer clear
can
of those.
I take it back on Biggs and Alan Wing, because they've actually got good chat.
No,
you can't.
No,
you can't.
Okay.
You've had a lot of chat, Josh Matavesi. You're an absolute legend. And hopefully, if the Falcons ever draw against your team, Camborne, then we'll see you play against each other. But if not, hopefully you see you up in London soon, because you've been wonderful.
Thanks for having us, lads. Cheers.
Well, what an absolute legend.
Oh, my God.
Anything.
Yeah, what a boy. That deserves a...
another one.
God, you love that.
I do love that button. Hold on. One more time.
Another one.
Thank God for Maratoja, I've got to say. Because if he had never met DJ Khaled, this button would have made no sense. Exists. But now it does. It makes pure and utter sense.
Well, you were using that button.
You won't get that on the Love Island podcast.
You were using that button a lot.
Do they have buttons on the Love Island podcast?
I haven't listened to it.
Well, bet they're not sponsored by the... Bank of England, traditionally very strong, together stronger.
You were loving playing those throughout our live shows. Yep. Last week we did Flatman in Bristol and Tom Vondel in Oxford. That was fucking those. Great shows.
What great show, mate. Thank you so much to everyone who came out. I think it was absolutely pure C.H.A.T. chat. I mean, we've got one more show in Edinburgh on the 13th.
We do.
Where tickets are still available. Yeah. That is going to be...
with Big Jim Hamilton.
Yeah, that's going to
be loose.
Mate, that is going to be...
Two of the biggest rugby pods in the world coming together.
So that's going to be great fun. I think tickets still available. You can click the link in the bio.
Just get them now
because they will go gold.
Well, Big Jim's not just a rugby man. He's an influencer as well.
Yeah,
Angel.
So two great influencers coming together. Yeah. One of the biggest Scottish influencers out there and one one, well, the biggest Clapham influencer coming together.
God knows.
And wait till Edinburgh get wind that the CEO of Clapham's coming out, mate.
Are you going to get on a motorbike as well, like Jim?
No, that's not my style. I'll probably just get a limo from the airport.
Want to see you in the clubhouse. I want to see you in the clubhouse. I want to hear about the time that you met that rugby player.
So, Archie, obviously we're bringing Clubhouse Stories back once more.
Oh, my God.
It's been going down so well on tour.
I absolutely love this section of the podcast. It's just like a train of chat just coming in people's ears.
Okay.
And their ears are the tunnel. Boop, boop.
Well, we have got into a bit of trouble during the live shows because they've been quite outrageous.
Well,
and these are ones we haven't been able to fit in the live shows.
Well, that one about him sleeping with his sister.
Oh, God, that was...
His half-sister.
Yeah.
That's,
he was so proud to tell it as well.
Yeah, good guy.
You went out with him all night, didn't you?
Yeah. He happened to be a really good guy.
Did he? He's a bit odd. He looks a bit weird.
Rich people do sometimes look like that, especially if they sleep with their family.
Well, this one is from Alistair Russell.
Russy boy.
And he starts...
That's what I call him. Russy boy.
Russy boy.
What have you got for me, Russy boy?
He starts by saying...
Not Alistair, because I only call my dad Alistair.
Okay. Well, he says...
Go on, Russy boy!
Whilst the party line of what goes on tour stays on tour
holds
true in most circumstances, it turns out there are some exceptions. One such exception occurred on our tour to Edinburgh a few years ago, where we're going to be with Jim Hamilton on the 13th of March. Buy your tickets now.
Oh my God, what happened? They're on tour?
It was
What's going on?
It was. Are they a rugby tour? I'm trying to tell you.
Okay.
It was a bit.
Oh my God.
It was
if it's rugby tour, mate, it's going to be loose. Rugby boys are like that. You wouldn't understand. You were an earring.
It was a particularly loose tour, even by our standards.
Bet it was. Are these guys semi-pro?
Well, they play in some small club in Bristol.
Amateur, but still, they're rugby boys, you can tell.
Severely
loose, this is going to get loose.
Severely soiled mattresses, rugby clubhouses turned into raves, and a case of American Super Thrush.
Oh, wow, is that a drink?
No, I think it's a social disease.
Oh, right.
But an incident occurred on the final night that has lived long in the folklore of our club. Upon exiting the drinking establishment known as the Three Sisters in the early hours of one morning in Edinburgh.
Well, they're rugby boys. They will be leaving early in the morning, yeah.
Because
they'll go straight through to close time. That's what I do.
So
I'm always the last one in Infernos.
Have you been to the Three Sisters? Apparently it's a great pub.
No, I would never go to Edinburgh unless I'm getting paid to be a live podcast.
Well, we are there on the 13th of March.
I like to stay put in Clapham.
Several members of a club heard a cry from a window up above the pub.
Oh,
so we all looked up.
Who was it?
Looking
Who was
up,
it? Who was it?
On John's
All right.
Looking up.
Oh my God. I can't bear it. I've got the anticipation. It's killing me.
Looking up.
This should be an ITV drama.
Looking up, we were greeted by the sight of one of our tourists, a particularly unsavory character, hammering a young Irish lady out the window from behind.
What? With a weapon?
No, I think it's a sexual term.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Rugby boys are like that.
The initial ways.
Way! I've been doing that. Yeah. I'll be like, way! I love a way. That or when someone drops a glass in the pub. Way!
The initial ways gave way to general disgust as the spectacle continued for longer than most onlookers were prepared for at 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
Oh, wow. What rugby boys. God.
They
should be bloody proud of this story. I don't care where it goes. I'm proud of them.
The collective embarrassment was added to when said lady and her immediate friends joined the entire tour party for some breakfast drinks the next day.
Way! That's another good place to say way.
Yeah.
Okay. When like someone comes down and you don't expect them at breakfast, man or woman, way!
Tour is a serious business. And as you know, you should never mix business and pleasure.
No, shouldn't. No, really? I once slept with a secretary. It's the worst thing I ever did.
There was little pleasure on view from what emerged that morning, but the story only gets worse.
Wait! That's not the right time.
No.
No. I just got carried away with the waves.
Not much thought was given to the incident until a few months later when said tourist had promptly split up with his girlfriend back in Bristol, moved to rural Ireland to live with the young lady's family as she was now pregnant with their son.
Wait!
And then he had to marry the poor lass shortly after.
Fair play. Sounds like a top bloke.
No, he doesn't. No,
well, take away that he cheated on his girlfriend. He's committed to this girl. Legend.
Well,
way.
So, in summary, what goes in tour stays in tour unless you get an Irish girl pregnant and you've threatened by a whole family into marrying her and making her an honest lady. Sadly, for their impromptu son, they're now divorced. He's moved back to Bristol with a lot less money, a lot more responsibilities. He hasn't rejoined the club.
Way.
So, Archie, obviously we've got the doubleheader of Ireland and France to come, but there's one more weekend before that all kicks off and finishes off the Six Nations. But we've talked enough about international rugby. The Falcons are back in town this week.
Yeah, Clodis, we are back this weekend. I'm feeling feeling refreshed. I had a couple of weeks off. Obviously, I was nursing a bit of a knee injury, as I told you, on tour. But I'm feeling great. Trained Tuesday night, and I trained like an absolute beast. We're playing a team from Dulwich this weekend. It'll be tough, but we're at home, and I'm looking forward to it. I said to the boys, unfortunately, I won't be going on the Birrios.
Why not?
Because next weekend's the big one. Yeah. It's against Ireland. And you know what? I want to be in tip-top form for that Ireland match, because England will need us. You know, they'll have to turn up on the pitch, but we'll have to turn up in the stadium, and I'll be ready for it, physically, mentally, and vocally.
Okay, cool.
I'll be shouting stuff like this. Come on, England!
Wow, that's inspirational.
Way!
Anything else?
Heave!
Yeah.
England! What was that, referee? Open your eyes, man! The loose head's clearly not binding on! He's offside, referee! Come on, he's got hands on the rock! God, linesman, can you not bloody help? Come on, England!
Do you think we can win?
We need to get the young guys on!
Do you think we can win?
Yes, Clodagh, of course I do. I always back England. I'm a true Englishman.
You support Italy against England?
Well, that's because those guys have all been on the podcast give us the time. Unfortunately, the England boys, you know what they're like. Sorry, Steve said I've got to keep my head down. People seem to think I'm having a go at Bill Sweeney. I'm Bill Sweeney's biggest fan. I'm the RFU's biggest fan.
Oh, no, you made that clear earlier in the podcast.
No,
You're a big fan.
I absolutely love them. What? And, you know, like, yeah, I'm always open to go and work with the RFU.
Yeah,
if I could give him kudos on LinkedIn, I bloody would.
Has he not come back to you?
No, he's not on Strava and he's not on LinkedIn. Oh. Otherwise, I'd be kudosing him the whole time.
Well, Archie, you've been absolutely wonderful today. Guys, if you are listening, we are going to be in Edinburgh on the 13th of March with the wonderful man who is Jim Hamilton. So please, for the price of a fucking pint or two, click on the link here, buy a ticket now, and see the best Lucy show ever.
And I've got to say, the shows are getting better and better.
They really are.
The more we do, the looser they get. And yeah, I can't wait to get up to Edinburgh. We're staying up there the night. It's going to get super, super loose. Yeah, and by the way, mate, I'll be thirsty.
Oh God, that's worrying.
You watch out. Probably not as thirsty as ours in Oxford. I think I had a stroke. Anyway, see you next weekend. Love and champagne.
You put on your best fit to the club tonight. You're trying to find someone to take you home and show you love. If nobody else will, then I will. If nobody will, I will. Your pussy shaved, you cleaned your bedroom just in case. And you ain't fucked in couple months tonight. You're trying to misbehave. Is that how you feeling? Is that how you feeling? Without sounding too perverted, close my eyes, I see you naked. Your looks come from your mama, daddy, money, got that bracelet. But you're acting bougie like it was you who fucking paid. Go and drop that bomb and watch that shit go up in flames. You make me feel young again, I don't wanna grow up. I don't even know, I fucking told my dick don't go up. Moving your waist, we pick up the pace, I make that shit go slower. Just give me the date and pick a place and go pack the Ramoa. We can go to fuck it if you fuck with this. Tick a couple countries off your bucket list. I'll hold it down, you ain't gon' worry about no other bitches. Diving deep and you gon' feel it where your stomach is. You put on your best fit to the club tonight. You're trying to find someone to take you home and show you love. If nobody else will, then I will. If nobody will, I will.